This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Namai, haere mai, kia ora tanakwe, Free FM 89.0. The weather says today we're going to occasional rain, clearing, then mainly fine with high cloud and southeasterlies. Tomorrow, Monday, as you go back to work, mainly fine, then clouding over in the afternoon with a few spots of rain and easterlies. The sun rose this morning at 6:14 a.m. and will set again tonight at 8:43 p.m. The opinion is mine. What's on my mind? Column comment. COVID-19 information from 2022, New Zealand, TV botanist was born. British author dies, the death of one third of Crosby, Stills and Nash. And we celebrate an American singer, actor, UNICEF ambassador. New Zealand Hit Parade, January 18, 1969. Gary Schofield, Dwayne Porter, Trevor's Talk before 2 p.m. this afternoon. Here at Free FM 89.0. The opinion is mine. Colin, comment. Well, do you go to school reunions? I've been to one, me old Kaipaki school, of course, out in the farming district outside of Cambridge, between Ohapo, Hamilton and Cambridge. Well, I got information this week that later this year, Kaipaki school will celebrate 150 years of education. If you're a former student of Kaipaki school listening to the show at the moment, it just reminded me of old school photos. Do you remember those old school photos that you lined up? Well, I've been given a school photo from the year 1964. There was myself, my sister, the Cunninghams, the Harveys, the two Curtin boys, sons of John Curtin, and there was other various people I knew in my life. Some still with us and some now deceased. Brother Malcolm was not featured in this 1964 Kaipaki school photograph. He was only about 3 years old at the time. Makes you feel old, doesn't it, Malcolm? Well, as I said, around September, Kaipaki school will celebrate its 150th year. It's been around a long time, long in education. The main old school building is still there. My family has a history with the Kaipaki school. My father went there, my aunt went there. We had a boarder on the farm. She later became known as Mrs. Wallbank. And we knew her for a very, very long time. Yes, we had the Speaks and the Stacys, etc., etc. So it's time to get hold of. It's on the website if you want to know what's going on in September this year. And, of course, the Kaipaki School has a famous former student. He's known as J-Mac, jockey James McDonald. His father was a jumps jockey, Brett McDonald. Yes, J-Mac, our most famous import. And what he does around the world when he's in racing is testament to his school. So look up Kaipaki School and the photographs. Get hold of them at 16 minutes to 1 o'clock. It's day 18, 3:47, January 18, 2026. It was this day in 2022 that 19 new cases of COVID-19 reported in New Zealand.
Be forced to kiss the image of a mountain. The early morning mist has ceased to play. Birds dancing lightly on the branch by a fountain of a waterfall which dazzles with its spray.
You must remember.
This is day in 1954. Actor Sidney Greenstreet, Signor Ferrari, in Casablanca with Humphrey Bogart, dies.
The sentimental things apply as time goes by. And when two lovers woo, they still say I love you.
This day in 1933, TV botanist Dr. David Bellamy was born. He died in 2019.
As I walk home on a summer night, when stars and heaven are shining bright, far away from the footlights glare, into the sweet and scented air of a quaint old Cornish town.
This day in 1936, author Rudyard Kipling dies.
We're foot slog, 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 slogging over Africa. Foot, 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 slogging over Africa. Boots, 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 moving up and down again. There's no discharge in the war.
1904 this day, British US actor Cary Grant was born. North by Northwest, The Philadelphia Story. Grant died in 1986, aged 82. This day in 2023, David Crosby of Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young dies. Entertainer Danny Kaye, The Secret Life of Walter Mitty and White Christmas born. He died in 1987. So let's remember the entertainer we saw in the Danny Kaye show on television back in the 60s.
The puppet can do anything, a thing, a thing, a thing. Popo can fly though he hasn't a wing, a wing, a wing, a wing. He can juggle a prune, blow up a balloon, or tickle a tune on the piano. He can fly a kite in spite of his height and sing both in bass and soprano. Popo the puppet can jump through a ring, swing on a swing, spring on a spring. Yes, Popo the puppet can do anything when somebody else pulls the string, the string, the string, the string, when somebody else pulls the string. I hope someday you can see Popo. He's a most unusual fella. His eyes are purple and his nose is pink. And his hair, oh, that's a remarkable yellow.
Popo can bark.
Oh, 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 oh.
Sing like a lark.
Ooh, ooh,
ooh, ooh. Moo like a cow.
Moo.
Do like a sow.
Oink.
Sound a note just like a goat.
Meh.
Popo can blow like an automobile.
Beep.
Go like a seal.
Wah.
Then like a hen.
Oh.
Popo the puppet can do anything.
If somebody else pulls the string.
The string, the string, the string. If somebody else pulls the string.
Popo the puppet can do anything. A thing, a thing, a thing. He never bumps when he jumps through a ring. A ring, a ring, a ring. He can stand on his head while making his bed. And then in a minute get in it. He can do any trick that you can pick, and then in addition arithmetic. Popo the puppet can jump through a ring. Swing on a swing, spring on a spring. Yes, Popo the puppet can do anything. And he did it.
How?
And he did it.
Where?
And he did it.
Why?
And he did it.
When
somebody else pulled the string.
Oh!
When somebody else pulled the string.
Hey!
When somebody else pulled the string.
The string, the string, the string.
When somebody else pulled the string. See?
Great stuff. Popo the Puppet, that is the late Danny Kaye. If we have some more time this afternoon, we'll play another Danny Kaye song for you as we remember his birth. UNICEF ambassador and great cook, I believe, too. It's 10 to 1 New Zealand Hit Parade, January 8, 1969, from chartorg.nz. There was no chart in January 1969. They were on a break at the time. But we remember that the Supremes were there roundabout. And, of course, Florence Ballard was replaced with Sydney Birdsong. A song written by Ardine Taylor, Love Child, a story of a woman asking a man not to sleep with her, thus the title. So let's go back to 1969, Diana Ross and the Supremes. Supremes at 3FM 89.0. That is Love Child. Hey, New Zealand Music Month is coming up in May of this year, and we're going to have a special look back at New Zealand hits from our past going into the Lever Hit Parade and all that. It's great information that I'm going to do in May this year to celebrate New Zealand Music Month. As promised, I'm going to play you some songs from Danny Kaye, because he was born this day. Let's try this one from Danny Kaye. 3FM.
That's the Woody Woodpecker song. He's a pecking it all day long. He pecks a few holes in a tree to see if a redwood's really red.
And it's nothing to him on the tiniest whim to peck a few holes in your head.
That's the Woody Woodpecker's tune. Makes the other woodpeckers swoon. Though it doesn't make sense to the doll and the dance, all the lady woodpeckers long for. That's the Woody Woodpecker's song.
That's the Woody Woodpecker's song.
And look at you.
He's a pecking it all day long.
He pecks a few holes in a tree to see if a redwood's really red. And it's nothing to him on the tiniest whim to peck holes in your head.
That's the Woody Woodpecker tune. Makes the other woodpecker swoon.
Though it doesn't make sense to the doll and the dance, all the lady woodpeckers long for. That's the Woody Wood, Woody Woodpecker song.
Yes, Danny Kaye and the Andrew Sisters and the Woody Woodpecker song. Well, yesterday, if you picked up your paper or went online to read your papers, you would have read the sad death of All Black great winger Grant Batty. Yes, he died at the age of 74 in Queensland, Australia. He'd been there for a living there. Well, his greatest moment, of course, came back in 1977.
Symptomatic of what they did in this match. And the All Blacks have won the first test 16-12.
Oh, we're going to miss the Grant Batty, aren't we? A bit more Grant Batty if I can find some later in the afternoon. It is 2 minutes to one. 2 minutes to one. And, yeah, the age of 64. We're also remembering today David Crosby of Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young. He died this day in... I'm just going through my papers here. He died this day in 2023. Here is Crosby, Stills and Nash. And
got out of town on a boat from the Southern Islands, sailing to reach before a following sea. She was making for the trades on the outside, and the downhill run to Papeete. Off the wind on this heading lie the Marquesas. We got 80 feet of a waterline, nicely making way in a noisy bar in Avalon. I tried to call you, but on a midnight watch I realized why twice you ran away. Think about
how many know it will. When you see the Southern Cross for the first time, you understand now why you came this way. 'Cause the truth you might be running from is so small, but it's as big as the promise of a coming day. So I'm sailing for tomorrow, my dreams are a-dying, and my love is an anchor tied to you,
tied with a silver chain.
I have my ship and all her flags are a-flying. She is all that I have left,
and music is her name.
Think about
how many times I have fallen. Spirits are using me, larger voices calling. What heaven brought you and me cannot be forgotten.
And we never failed to fail. It was the easiest thing to do. You will survive being bested. Somebody fine will come along, make me forget about loving you. In the Southern Cross,
Free FM 89.0, Cosmopolitan News and Views, the Southern Cross, Crosby, Stills, Nash, from the album called, their greatest hits album actually, David Crosby, Dying This Day in 2023. 3 minutes past one, we're remembering Grant Batty today because he died yesterday at the age of 64. Was it a shock? Reading in the paper, very young, 64, but of course, reading his story, he was battered, he was kicked, he was punched. He was only a very small player compared to other wingers. Let's take another great moment from the late Grant Batty here at Free FM. Here's Bill McLaren.
Sheddon throws. It's knocked back by Peter Whiting. This is Kirkpatrick once again. What a run by the New Zealand skipper. Ian Stevens switching and changing to Bruce Robertson. Robertson, who's big and strong and powerful, and who well may make a try for Grant Batty, and he has. Batty the scorer, Robertson the creator.
When I was just a little shaver, knee-high to a chair, the old man put me on his knee. Now he drained his glass and he closed his eyes and he handed me some good advice on how to be a real Kiwi. He taught me how to pick the second leg and how to tap a brewery keg and said, "My boy, you needn't have a fear. Because of your great parentage, you've got a national heritage of rugby, racing and beer. Rugby, racing and beer. Rugby, racing and beer. Down under there, mad over them. Rugby, racing and beer." My old uncle Charlie went to see his doctor yesterday. Says he, you gotta help me, Doc, and quick. I'm seeing footballs in my eyes, pink horses twice their normal size, and every Monday morning, oh, I get so sick. The doctor took one look at him and he said, now, Charlie, things are grim. Complacency is setting in, I fear. You'd better write that will tonight, as you've contracted kiwi-itis with your rugby racing and beer. Rugby racing and beer. Rugby racing and beer. Down under there, mad over them. Rugby racing and beer. One night when all the world was dead, I woke up startled in my bed. Somebody was creeping down the hall. Well, I ducked my head and I counted 10, but there it was, that noise again. A burglar must be paying us a call. I said, who's that? A voice said, me, Uncle Charlie. Want some tea? It's only my transistor you can hear. Oh, these evening races give me hell. I've got the night trots now as well as rugby racing and beer. Rugby racing and beer. Rugby racing and beer. Down under there, mad over them. Rugby racing and beer. Jimmy was a country boy, all very shy, very coy. You know the sort I mean, through and through. Well, at the local dance, he met this girl, and he thought he'd like to give this bird a bill. But where to start? Well, he hadn't got a clue. He parked the car, she looked at him, cuddled up and whispered, Jim, tell me those three words I want to hear. Well, he looked at her with some surprise and said with love light in his eyes, oh, rugby racing and beer. Rugby racing and beer. Rugby racing and beer. Down under there, mad over them. Rugby racing and rugby racing and rugby racing and beer. Rugby racing and beer.
FM 89.0, there's a memory and a half. That is rugby, racing and beer. The late Rod Derrett, 1:08. We've got Gary before 2:00, as long with Dwayne and also Trevor, and much, much more on this Sunday afternoon. Classic TV, remember this? Chaparral, Leif Erikson and Mark Slate, Henry Darrow, and much, much more. Great, great TV series. It was made by the same man who made Bonanza. And, yeah, so it's all go on a Sunday afternoon. Hope Sunday afternoon is going very, very well for you. It's not a very nice day. It's very, very wet outside. So just take it easy if you're driving on the roads at the moment. Roads a bit greasy because... all the dust and the grease gets on the roads, and just drive around safely. And if you're riding one of those scooters, just be careful for everybody else around. Yeah. Back to 1970 we go with Mungo Jerry.
My eyes, Lady Rose, good times spent, how the days went, Lady Rose, ah, Lady Rose.
Glenn Ford, fabulous actor back in the 50s in America. That was Henry Mancini and his orchestra and a theme from Cades County, a very forgotten series that we had back in that time. Okay, time for another track from the one and only Danny Kaye as we celebrate his birthday today.
There once was an ugly duckling with feathers all stubby and brown, and the other birds in so many words said, get out of town. Get out, get out, get out of town. And he went with a quack and a waddle and a quack in a flurry of eiderdown. That poor little ugly duckling went wandering far and near, but at every place they said to his face, now get out of here. Get out, get out, get out of here. And he went with a quack and a waddle and a quack and a very unhappy tear. All through the winter time he hid himself away, ashamed to show his face, afraid of what others might say. All through the winter in his lonely clump of weed, till a flock of swans spied him there and very soon agreed, you're a very fine swan indeed. A swan? Me a swan? Ah, go on. And he said, yes, you're a swan. Take a look at yourself in the lake and you'll see. And he looked and he saw and he said, I am a swan. Whee! I'm not such an ugly duckling. No feathers, all stubby and brown. For in fact, these birds in so many words said, the best in town. The best, the best, the best in town. Not a quack, not a quack, not a waddle or a quack. but a glide and a whistle and a snowy white back and a head so noble and a heart. Say, who's an ugly duckling? Not I. Not I.
Well, late Danny Kaye, the ugly ducking, ugly... Try that again, the ugly duckling at 3FM, 17 past 1 o'clock. Well, in 1970, there was an Academy Award-winning actor, his only number one in Britain. He starred with Clint Eastwood. It wasn't a big hit in America, and the movie was a flop. Yes, the late Lee Marvin.
Star. I was born under a wandering star. Wheels are made for rolling, mules are made to pack. I've never seen a sight that didn't look better looking back. I was born under a wandering star. Mud can make you prisoner and the plains can bake you dry. Snow can burn your eyes but only people make you cry. Home is made for coming from, for dreams of going to, which with any luck will never come true. Goodbye forever, it's time for me to go. I was born under a wandering star. A wandering, wandering star.
Mud can make you prisoner and the plains can make you dry. Snow can burn your eyes, but only people make you cry. Home is made for coming from, for dreams of going to, which with any luck will never come true.
To heaven, tie me to a tree, or I'll begin to roam, and soon you know where I will be. I was born under a wandering star, a wandering, wandering star.
Sorry about that. Yeah, that was Wandering Star. That was a late Lee Marvin from the movie Paint Your Wagon. Good afternoon, Mel.
Good afternoon, Bruce, listeners, and to our guest, Leanne Morris. He's enjoyed living in a Melbourne suburb street in Hamilton for decades. Well, get it right soon, Leanne. But hello, how are we?
Oh, I'm great, and thanks very much for having me on the program this afternoon.
Oh, it's our privilege. You enjoyed living in suburban Melville Street in Hamilton for decades. In the early hours of Friday morning, all seemed tranquil in your home till it happened. Only 10 metres from where stands the house of about 100 years, on a clear day, its view of the horizon to the south is of a distant Mount Hurepehu, most visible when sunlight glistens white on its snowy slopes. But on this occasion, in the quiet of night, comes from close by a white flash. We'll let you, Leanne, tell what happens next.
Oh, gosh, well, you're right. You've set the scene for me there, Mel. We have lived in Holy Street in Melbourne, sort of the southern part of Hamilton, for coming up 30 years, actually. It was our first home, and we've been born within here. It's been a great neighbourhood for our children to grow up. And it was quite an established home. We're the third owners of this home, and it's coming up 100 years old. So the excitement in question was really about a large tree in our front yard that's probably 80 years old, very tall, 30 metres high. It's been a sort of a landmark on our street in this community for a little while, and filled with birds and bits and pieces throughout the years. But Friday morning was quite the exception. We had a large storm over Hamilton, a thunder and lightning storm, and several big flashes and bolts of lightning that felt very near us, until the third big bolt of lightning was incredibly lit up our house on the inside as we were all waking from the noise. And that was the lightning bolt that struck this beautiful big tree only 10 metres away from our house.
Wow. This doesn't happen every day, thank goodness.
Gosh, it was such an experience. Now, I mean, the force of the lightning as it hit the tree, it has, I would imagine, sent a current down the centre of the tree, and the tree has exploded in a 360-degree radius across the road, into our neighbour's yard, all over our yard and driveway, onto the roof of our house and garage. It's almost like a bomb went off on the inside of the tree and just sent bark and branches in all directions. And unfortunately, about three vehicles were damaged with timber either blowing at them or falling on them, along with a little bit of damage on our house. We've lost spouting, and a couple of windows have got some damage, and our security light has blown off the building and currently missing in action somewhere. So it was quite a thing. 2:30 in the morning, not the thing you really want to wake up to. And it was still pouring with rain outside when we went out to look and see what was happening. There was still lightning in the distance. It wasn't directly above us anymore. We were a little bit afraid to go outside, to be honest, because there was just timber and wood and rain everywhere. We're on quite a busy road, although it's 2:30 in the morning. It's not usually busy at that time, but we had some lovely neighbours come out and help us clear branches off the road and so forth. So a bit of a community effort to keep the road clear. I phoned 111 and wasn't sure what services would come, but we had a city council guy come to help clear the road, and also the power company came up as well. So yeah, it was a bit of a team event, and something we never expect to go through.
I love an electrical storm, and I saw the same storm the other night as the lightning came near my window and the thunder rolled and it went away and then came back again. Yeah, no, it, when do we know when it is coming? Did the temperature go down? Did you feel the temperature going down?
Well, I didn't. There were three big bolts of lightning. It was the third one that took out our tree. I missed the first one. The second one woke me up because it felt really close. And obviously the third one just shook our house and lit everything up around us. But it was interesting that as we were all dealing with the aftermath of this out on the road, clearing it, I was so thirsty. I just needed a drink of water. My daughter helped me, because I'm thirsty too, as did the other volunteers. And I've since sort of done a little bit of reading online. When lightning is about to strike, the atmosphere around the strike location changes.
Yep.
Apparently your hair can sort of stand up with static electricity. I didn't notice that, but one of the visitors we've had since has said that his hair was standing up just before the lightning strike. Your mouth goes dry. That's something to do with the particles of the iron in the air. And there is a smell that smells kind of like burning, but it is actually the smell of lightning. It's called ozone, and so we smelt that too, and it was very interesting.
And you hope that that's true, what they say about never does it strike twice, lightning in the same place.
Oh, gosh, I hope so. We've made some mulch out of the bark that was in the branches of the tree. I'm going to spread it around all my garden so it protects us for the rest of our time in this property, hoping it will never happen again.
During the day, I got warnings on my cell phone. I'm linked in with the Met Service or the other people, probably like you. And I was told it's going to rain within the next 20 minutes. At the end of the message, keep dry. There must be some joker down there at the Met Service who thinks it's funny, but I love the messages I get from the Met Service, so the Met Service do warn us.
I mean, there's some great technology out there now, especially for, like, earthquakes and tsunamis and things like that, but, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning, you're fast asleep, you're not really looking for anything in particular. But certainly, you know, it's a bit of a one-off for us and for the community around us. I mean, we often can, because we're on a little bit of a hill, we can see the weather coming from the south, and, you know, often you've got time to grab the washing off the line, but lightning's a different story. yes, it was. I don't think it's anything that can be expected, a lightning strike. We all prepare for stormy weather with putting our trampolines upside down and putting our picnic umbrellas down, but this is something else.
Leanne, you know best the community in which you grew up. It was in the country, and did you find that over the years that traditional country generosity, readiness to help a neighbour, is that disappearing or not?
You know, I don't think it is. I think it's there, but people don't have a reason to come together unless there is a calling, a disaster, an earthquake, a flood, a lightning strike. I think there is a natural need in people to be human and help others out, and it's not until something happens that people probably show their true colours, to be honest. I've certainly seen our street change over the years with a real variety of people living here, but since our lightning strike and the remnants of the tree that we have on our driveway here, we've probably had people pop in up our driveway and look at it, take a photo. We're giving kids a bit of wood off the tree so they can take it to school for their show and tell. There to me is a real goodness in people that I think maybe we're all a little bit too isolated in our own world, however they are, that we're kind of losing it a bit unless there's an opportunity. So I think maybe without it being lightning, we need to create more of those opportunities to bring people together.
Well, all we need to know is, what sort of tree was that would be split like matchwood?
Well, it was a Japanese cedar, according to the arborist chap that came and helped us clear it away. It's it's got a beautiful scent to it, probably a little bit like those old-fashioned sort of glory boxes or storage boxes that would have been made out of cedar wood. It's very scented. More scented now that the lightning's given it a bit of a kick along. It's very variety of colours. It's light, like matchsticks, kind of white wood, but then there's deep golden parts and rough sort of brown-grey bark on the outside. It would have been, oh my gosh, 30 metres high. We did have a moorhawk living in it for many, many years, but he seemed to have moved to another tree a year or two ago.
Now one tree is gone. Are you going to plant one then to replace it?
Well, we're actually quite lucky. Being on this beautiful established home that we have, you know, right next to it is a totara tree, currently probably at 15 metres high. So that one's probably going to take over now. It's got some free airspace. So No, we won't play anything right there. I think that was a bit of a one-off spot, but we've certainly got plenty of other big trees around for the birds to migrate to. Another day, Mel. It was quite funny the morning that it happened. I really couldn't expect to see.
And how have your roses done with this lightning striking?
Pathway with a I don't know about a dozen white banded roses, and I think they all kind of scared themselves. I wanted to say another word, but not on radio. And lots of white petals are all over the pathway, and. I think I would have done the same thing if I was a rose that close to that kind of lightning.
Oh, it's a great story. I'm going to play you a rain song, actually. I found a song called Rhythm of the Rain by Jason Donovan, so we're going to play that for you. Make sure you're all in safe tonight. You never know. We might have another storm tonight. Thank you very much for joining us here at Free FM. Thank you very much. It's 28 to 2.
And she said, among other things, that they are doing everything correctly. 32 people died in ICE custody last year. 170 US citizens were detained by ICE. And Rene Good was shot in the head and killed by an ICE agent. How does that equate to them doing everything correctly?
Why was Rene Good unfortunately and tragically killed?
Are you asking me my opinion? Because an ICE agent acted recklessly and killed it unjustifiably.
Oh, okay. So you're a biased reporter with a left-wing opinion.
What do you want me to do?
Yeah, because you're a left-wing hack. You're not a reporter. You're posing in this room as a journalist. And it's so clear by the premise of your question.
Oh, my goodness. I heard that many times. Caroline Leavitt, press secretary for Donald Trump. She's not a journalist herself. So she has to talk. Yeah, no. We're going to talk about it with Gary because there's been another killing in because of ice. Good afternoon, Gary.
Good afternoon, Bruce.
Yeah, that really got my wind up this early in the week. Anyway, Mel's got some
I could
stuff
tell.
Here.
As long as President Trump prevails, Gary, expression of dissent, whether from within the United States government or of any form of public protest against his policy, puts people in peril of extreme repercussions. ICE, for example. Your comment?
Well, I'm quite astonished by the way that this has been broadened to not only policies of ICE, but also policies of international affairs and geopolitics itself. Because we've got the situation where Greenland is now on the possibility of being annexed, and countries that show dissent to that, so this is a new era of tariff, are threatened with 10% tariff now and 25% later should this pursue that course of resisting the annexation of Greenland. And we're talking about NATO ally countries. We're talking about Germany. We're talking about France, Sweden. These are countries that are now in the firing line because of a dissent of position, a dissent of geopolitical vision, and also there's a threat that NATO itself could implode because an attack on Denmark, for example, or a country of Denmark like Greenland, would be Article 5 and we'd have a real showdown with the future of NATO. So at the moment, it looks as if Trump may prevail with this, but I think he's going to run up against overplaying his hand, in my view, because the Supreme Court, don't forget, is just waiting in the wings to make a decision on whether any and all of these tariffs are constitutional. So he may have played, it may be a bridge too far, to coin a term from World War II. But we'll see how that plays out. But yes, very good commentary on that.
Yeah, no, talking about Carol, I don't want to talk more about Caroline Leavitt. There's been another, and it's been proven as a homicide due to ICE in Texas. And by the coroner, he's ruled that it was a homicide. So we've got, an alleged murder and a murder. So, and ICE have been stopped somehow by a district court judge to stop what they're doing.
I was just going to say, I understand that there has been a ruling on that must address and soften the tactics being used.
Yep. But the use of tear gas, pellets, and a 20-year-old or 21-year-old has lost a sight in his left eye.
By the way, yes, just on that tear gas and pellets, we have to be careful that if we're removing non-lethal effects, what the implication might be.
I saw the face of that 21-year-old on television this week, and his sight is gone. He can't smell, he can't cough because he's still got stuff in his head. How do you stop this, Gary?
Nice that you ask me. I love how people often ask me when the world is heading right over the cliff, what do we do now, Gary? What I said like 20 years ago, there's a cliff over there. I'm not sure the best way of dealing with that.
Yeah.
I think that we have checks and balances within the United States. Like I'm saying with the court case, Supreme Court, they could say, Trump can't do these things. It has to be done through Congress. You know, those are ways of addressing all of the independent policies that Trump has.
So, I did read that maybe articles of impeachment are coming against Kirstie Noem, her being the Secretary of Homeland Security. Yes, someone has put in some impeachment articles, so we'll watch out in the next couple of weeks how far that goes.
We have, but just to remind you that we've heard of these in the past and they haven't come to anything. But not to say that this won't, but yes, we'll keep an eye on it.
Gary, of course, there's another person too who's, and you've heard bits and pieces of him too, is Stephen Miller, the, what is his role? He's also been called the shadow president of the United States, and he's a very angry man. He never smiles, he yells and screams, and he gets goes on CNN, starts yelling and screaming, but he gets on Fox News, and he's very, very friendly. Let's stop it there for a moment, because I want to pay tribute to...
The squeaky wheel gets the oil.
Yes, because before, at Christmas time, we lost the New Zealand American journalist Peter Arnett. He died.
Oh, we did? I didn't know that. I knew Peter.
Yeah, and of course he got sacked by CNN for some of his reporting in the Gulf War. But he was born in Invercargill, and he was in his 90s when he died. So... was he a good journalist? Was he an honest journalist?
Oh, I was just struck by the bravery of that man. And I look at his Vietnam record, very challenging, very dangerous personally. And so any courage like this to step out and to make for what they all believe is an effect on the future of the world with what they were doing. So, yes, I have nothing but praise for Peter Arnett.
Like you, he kept his links with New Zealand, as you have and Stuart has, and it's sad to see the likes of... But going back to journalism in America, we see the guy on CBS News and how he's trying to praise the Trump administration. And I see all the stuff in Fox News. Yes, CNN, they're trying to keep Wolf Blitzer. He's trying to keep his sense and sensibility about this. We've got some great journalists in America who haven't bent the knee to Donald Trump.
But the BBC issue and the decision and that's pending on that one has thrown, I think, cold water on everyone's face. But just let's not only look at the US journalists, because I would like to know, since we did talk on the tariffs, why have we not really had answers as to why New Zealand is still being terribly penalized with a 15% tariff, where our competitive trading partners have not.
Mm-hmm.
How can we fix this? Is anyone trying? Why have we heard no more? What are the details? What should we have done? What shouldn't we do? So that would be a good journalist's topic. Yeah. I'd like to see a New Zealander step forward and give us those answers and questions.
Well, I'm waiting for... who's our New Zealand Trade Minister? Oh, Todd McClay. Todd McClay, he's the son of a former MP, Roger. And... Winston Peters, why isn't Peters speaking out? Is he bending the knee to Trump?
Well, these are good questions. We'd like the answers, because I can only sympathize with all those New Zealanders who've spent sometimes most of a lifetime trying to get relations, trade, get things, their products into the U.S. market. Terribly, terribly difficult.
Yeah.
And then you've got a 15% tariff, which can cripple you.
Well, of course.
So, yes, it would be wonderful to resolve that one. And I do notice that we're not in the list of countries that may be tariffed over Greenland.
Yeah. Well, another thing.
Not yet, we are.
talking about Winston Peters, he had a go at the governor of the Reserve Bank of New Zealand for her supporting Mr. Powell, who's under pressure from Donald Trump over his stance on how the money runs. And Mr. Powell has got to be independent. Other former, what do you call your people with the money? It's who look after the money in America. They're meant to be independent, but Trump wants to interfere, and this is why.
Oh, the Treasury or finance. But yes, just on that, I think you might be obliquely referencing an investigation against this gentleman. So there we've had this whole issue and a two-edged sword of lawfare for a few years. And are we surprised that Trump may be looking in the same direction?
Yes. Hey, Gary, it's been a pleasure talking to you this week.
He always keeps a close eye, standing back in the shadows to see which way it's going. Iran.
Oh, very important issue. Also, don't forget, there was the Japanese-Philippine Defense Alliance announced. Iran and Venezuela, these are other very important topics I'd love to talk all day on, but I'm sure Bruce won't give me enough time. But yes, with Iran, a terrible tragedy without the support, if you're going to help a revolution, with those terrible deaths. Venezuela, there is the oil issue denied to China. I believe that's also what's going there. In Iran, that's also a possibility because China would then be dependent more on Russia. We've got the Greenland issue is about China's influence in the Arctic region as well. So all of this ties together in the whole global perspective of the world.
Meanwhile, the people of Ukraine simply try to keep warm.
Freezing. Yes, freezing conditions, attack on the energy system as a weapon of war. So, yes, with the peace process not going anywhere, so this is another very dangerous. And it all ties together into the same pressures on stability of our fragile planet. And of course, the irony being that all these warming conditions are now making these regions in the earth and in the more likely to be fought over.
To talk about Kirsty Noem, listen to this.
Our city and our suburbs in the form of immigration enforcement. In my district, federal agents rappelled down from Black Hawk helicopters and burst into an apartment building in the South Shore area.
Yeah, that is Representative Robin Kelly. She said in her C-SPAN link, I will be impeaching. She's talking about Kirsty Noem.
There we go.
Yeah, so it's all go in American politics this week. And
Never a dull moment, let's face it.
Yeah, another piece, let's go to the UK. And I heard that this week First Minister John Swinney says that Sir Keir Starmer will not be Prime Minister by the end of this year. So he's predicted that. So it's all go in British politics too.
Well, Britain is also one of those sanctioned and tariffed over, potentially, because that's what they're talking about right now, over the Greenland issue.
Yeah.
And this is a NATO issue. This is a European security issue. This is a very, uncharted territory.
Hey, we'll talk to you again next week.
Yes, indeed. Look forward
to it. And all the best to Stuart, too.
I will. I'll pass that on. Always do.
See you later, mate. Bye-bye. Bye.
Bye.
Morning last, just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy. Hello, lamppost, what you knowing? I come to watch your flowers growing. Ain't you got no rhymes for me? Do it and do-do, feeling groovy.
Harper's Bazaar at 3FM 89.0. That is Feeling Groovy. The 59 Street Bridge song is Dwayne Porter feeling groovy this afternoon. Afternoon, sir.
Oh, good afternoon and thanks for the comment.
Boats, ships, trains, automobiles,
you name it.
You can keep up with the movements, we hope, because they're changing their times of berthing and it's subject to a lot of interacting arrangements with various ships and their needs.
Yes, it is, actually. There's so many boats in that are actually coming in to the ports, like Napier and Gisborne and all that, and the variety of the logs and the container boats, even though actually importing vegetable oil from Fiji.
You love using vegetable oil. What do you cook your vegetable? Well, what do you use your vegetable oil for?
I use a little bit of oil in the frying pan just to cook my meat patties or a piece of steak.
Do you have a wok?
I used to have a wok, but I used to have a frisbee.
You don't know where it is. It's probably still flying over Hamilton somewhere.
Well, it's in the gully somewhere. But as I say, it's quality. We've got even like last night, I was saying about that the Navy thing. They had the two planes flying over in Bay Park, over the mount for the cricket.
Yeah.
And that boat's already in for them to come in, but they brought the planes in with it. So
yeah, talking about those drones, they're interesting, aren't they? Because you see them at Tarapa Racecourse and all that, and it's great sight. But they're also a pain in the ass too. And,
well, sometimes it is, but it does. Even the police use them. But you know, like there's quite a few of them in Auckland that the pilots have problems with them. You know, the aircrafts have problems with it because they can see the lights flashing.
Anyway.
But in the vehicle recovery coming up, actually last week we had a big clean-up and disposed quite a few cars in our yard.
Yep.
And Mel's got the list there you can read.
Oh, you've got various vehicles, I see. This is a list that you make up from reports on the extent of damage. They're all damaged vehicles or not?
Yep, all damaged, repossessed, stolen, recovered, and also abandoned.
Yes, all that category.
Yeah, yep. So we've got, what do you call it, Aramara Pursuit?
Yep.
Silver Moon?
Yep. No, that's the boats you got to read down below.
Oh, sorry. Sounds like a fancy car. Toyota Hiace van.
Yep.
Suzuki Swift.
Yep.
Daihatsu Delta.
Yep.
Toyota Hilux.
Yep.
Mitsubishi Pajero.
Yep.
And a Toyota Celica. Popular cars because...
Well, they are popular cars, these Toyota Celicas, but, you know, I can tell you that there's so many of them that have been abandoned and been stolen, recovered. You know, the variety, you know, even a research that I'm trying to do about Toyota and Honda and all that is just ludicrous. I can't even keep up with it. That's why I've got to backtrack of what I've got to do and look at the auctions and that.
Yep.
And so, like, even like last week, we had 279 vehicles went up for auction. They were all sold under the hammer.
Yep.
This week I got another 256 up for auction. So hopefully that will go under the hammer next week. But,
and,
you know, I can tell you is that the auctions and the finance companies and that, no one can keep up with it.
Yep.
You know, like you look at it and the market of scrap cars is amazing of what cars get scrapped. And the funny part is that, you know, a brand new Mercedes-Benz the other day caught fire.
Anyway.
You know? So I can tell you, everyone, you know, if you want to tender for it, just go onto our Mannheim site, .co.nz. And just select the auction part and,
anyway, more next week because I've got a special request. We've got to get through this first because this is for Trevor because he's asked for this. Faith and his orchestra and the theme from the Virginian. Yes, Trevor's favourite program. Good afternoon, sir. Trevor's talk.
Good afternoon. Thanks for that clip on the theme tune. Talking about vehicles and safety, the problems they used to have is that these billboards on the side of the road is a visual distraction, and then now they've got television screens on the dashboard, also a visual distraction. But they're very tough on mobile phones, talking on mobile phones. But they're not as dangerous as what I've mentioned just previously, because when you're on the mobile phone, you're not taking your eyes off the road. And this is where you get a problem. Same with life-saving out on a boat. As long as you've got possession of a life jacket, it's legal to do that and not have to wear it. I think it should be compulsory to wear it. What's the use of the boat capsizes and the life jackets on the boat and you're in the water out of reach?
Well, the life jackets should go on the kids especially.
Well, yeah, or some adults that can't swim. They're in big trouble.
Anyway, I've got to ask you, how many cycles on the cycle lane in front of your building?
Yeah, I haven't mentioned that for a while because the pattern hasn't really altered. I've only seen two in the last 3 weeks, two cyclists.
Well, the patterns might be changing, Trevor, because the Te Huia Express to Auckland from serving the Waikato allows those people who are energetic with their bikes to load them onto the train and to travel it right into the heart of Auckland if they wish.
Oh, right. And then they... With a ride on there.
Anyway, time to go. Thank you. We'll leave you because I was watching a couple of Munsters movies last night with Fred Gwynne and Yvonne DiCarlo and the rest of them. Let's take you up with the theme from the Munsters.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.